Our Father in heaven, we bless you, our Creator, our Sovereign Lord, and our Redeemer. We come as your creatures, acknowledging that we have come short of your glory. You have revealed yourself, you have revealed your commandments to us, and as we listen to them, we know we've come short. We know we haven't loved you with all our hearts, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Nor have we loved our neighbor as ourselves. And so we come seeking your mercy and grace, seeking pardon and cleansing through the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking the touch of your Spirit to renew us, to give strength, and to set us on our way. Live it to your praise and glory. May it please you to speak to us from your word as we've gathered here. May it direct our steps and encourage us. May your Spirit open our minds and hearts and draw us close to the Lord Jesus. May he minister to us as we are here. And may he go with us as we depart. Father, come. Continue the good work that you have begun in every believing heart. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. For our scripture reading this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, and I'll read the first 11 verses, and I will also read verses 12 through 15. Philippians, chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the servants of Christ Jesus of Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And then I turn the page to chapter 3 and begin at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let us sing to God's praise Psalm 121, verses 1, 2, and 4. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. New Year's, as custom has it, is a time for making New Year's resolutions. We are not yet fully the people that we ought to be. There is room for improvement in your life, and in mine, indeed, in every life. So, with a brand new year, very close to its beginning, it does seem like a good time to make some resolutions, or at least one resolution to make reformation in our lives. And to bring us at least one step closer to the pattern set out for us in the Ten Commandments and by the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, there's a problem in this matter of making resolutions. It's seems that our resolutions are very fragile, very easily broken. I heard one commentator on the radio not so long ago saying, why bother making resolutions? We'll only break them anyway. And the fact is that a lot of people don't have much confidence when it comes to making resolutions. Oh, they've made them, but haven't made much headway, and they've pretty well given up on it. But I do not think you would find the Apostle Paul among such people. He sounds very confident as he writes to us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And I'd suggest this morning that it will do us all good to take a careful look at this text as we consider this idea of making a New Year's resolution. First of all, I'd suggest we take a good look at the problem in the light of Scripture. Why is it that our resolutions seem so hard to keep? Then, secondly, we'll turn our attention to the good work that our text tells us God has begun. And then we can take up building confidence in keeping the resolutions that we make. So I start with the problem. Why is it we seem to have so much trouble when it comes to making resolutions? Why are they always getting broken? Especially when it comes to resolutions concerning our moral improvement and the way we live our lives before God. What is the problem here? Why so much difficulty? Well, I'd suggest a big part of our problem is that we keep looking back at our past failures and we see that we fail so many times that we give up. Oh, sometimes we did very well at first. We made a good start, and then we stumbled, we fell, and we didn't finish. And somewhere along the line at that point, we gave up on the project. And instead of saying, if at first you don't succeed, try and try again, we said, if at first you don't succeed, quit. And we've not had the success that we'd like to have. And all too soon, we give up the struggle. We have no confidence. Well, that's part of our problem, and the further explanation of it is the lingering sinfulness of our own sinful hearts. The Apostle Paul complains in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, or rather Romans 7, 18, I have the desire to do what's good, but I cannot carry it out. We're all born sinners. We read in Romans chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. When the Holy Spirit convinces us that this scripture is true. We hopefully at the same time hear the call of the gospel and turn in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus. We become born again by the Spirit of God, and a new heart is created within us that delights to do the will of God. But that doesn't make us perfectly moral Christians overnight. That's going to take time. Some good resolutions will help, of course. But in the meantime, don't be surprised if there are some failures. But don't let it destroy your confidence. We keep looking back at these very failures, and these failures will destroy any confidence that we may have picked up along the way. And we keep telling ourselves, we just can't succeed. It can't be done. I can't do it. So all we need to do is stop looking back. In Philippians 3:13, the apostle talks about forgetting those things which are behind. And I'm sure that includes forgetting all those past failures. Stop looking back at all those things that contribute to our present lack of confidence. Stop living in the past, yesterday's past and gone. This is 2022, whole new year. Who can tell what you or I will be able to accomplish in this fresh new year? This is a completely unspotted, unspoiled new opportunity. Why not resolve to make the improvements that we know we need to make? Why not resolve at least to make one resolution for improvement? Why not press on with God's apostle, straining toward what is ahead, as he tells us in the rest of Philippians chapter 3. It's time to forget the past and all the reasons we have for a lack of confidence today. Very well then, where should we be looking? Well, we need to look where Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 directs us to. He who has begun a good work in you. We need to have a firm grasp on what God has already done. Paul, of course, is writing to Christians, people who have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That being so, God has begun a good work in them. And what we need to do is stop and consider how we ever managed to be saved and become Christians in the first place. How does salvation happen? And very often the answer to that question is given while we hear the gospel and we repent of our sins and we put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important that we do all three of these things. Most important, we have to hear the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he rose again from the dead according to the scriptures, and that he calls us to come to him in repentance and faith to receive newness of life. We have to open our minds to this message. We have to understand what Christ has done for us sinners, that he gave his life for us on the cross to set us free from the power and penalty of our sins. Yes, we have to listen to the message. That's where we have to start. Then it's important to repent of our sins. We look at our sins and we see how displeasing they are to the Lord. They're acts of rebellion against him, and he condemns them accordingly. And because of this, we resolve to stop doing them and to start living according to God's law. That's repentance, and we have to do the repenting. And then, of course, we have to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see he is the sinless one who took all the guilt and offense of our sins upon himself, and he died for our sins on the cross, taking the death that our sins so richly deserved. And God accepts his death as a substitution for ours. So we put our faith in the Lord Jesus. And we become Christians. We're saved by his grace. But one of our problems is we look at this process and we say, well, good for us. We listened. Good for us. We turned from our sins. Good for us. We believed the gospel. And we tend to forget or ignore what we're told in our text for this morning. That this is all God's doing. It is God who has saved us. It is God who has brought us to Jesus Christ. It is God who has begun this good work in us. It was God who sent the gospel to us. It was God who by his Spirit caused us to stop long enough to consider the message. It was God who by his Spirit opened our eyes and our minds so that we might see and understand what Christ has done for us. He gave us to hear the gospel. He gave us to understand the gospel. He gave us the gift of repentance. He turned our hearts from the sins that our hearts were so committed to. Acts 5, verse 31 tells us how God exalted Jesus to give repentance to Israel. Acts 11:18 informs us that God also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Repentance, you see, that's a gift of God too. A gift that causes us to see our sinfulness. See how God is so displeased with it. It moves us to turn away. That we might believe in Christ and follow him. Yes, and it's God who gives us the faith to believe. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by the grace of God you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. God gives us the faith to believe. God moves our stubborn hearts to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So no matter how you look at your salvation, it's not your doing so much as it's the work of God. Jonah had it right when he prayed in the belly of the fish. Salvation is of the Lord. It's God's doing from beginning to end. Charles Spurgeon wrote a little book that I believe is still in print with the title All of Grace, written by a Baptist, but it would bless the heart of any good Calvinist, in which he explains our salvation is all of God's grace, all of God's doing. If you ever come across a copy of it, make sure you read it. And our text is telling us the same message when it talks about he who began a good work in you. And we need to get this truth firmly fixed in our minds. Far too many Christians today think it was their doing that made them Christians. But this is not what we find in Scripture. It's the work of God all the way through. He has got this good work going in our lives. Get that firmly fixed in your mind and never forget it. God saved you. Salvation is the work of God. It is God's good work. And He has begun this good work in you when you became a Christian. Never forget that truth, even for a moment. Okay, so we move on to my last point, which calls us to look at building the confidence we need if we're going to keep our resolutions. Our confidence has to be placed in the God who saves us. God, when He saves us, begins a good work in us. And there's nothing wrong with that good work. It has the best origin, the best quality, the best purpose, and you can count on it to have the best result. But please note, God has not finished with this work. He has begun, but He has not finished. The text says very clearly, He who has begun a good work in you. In other words, He still has more work in you than He intends to do. Work that includes your sanctification, the improving of your lives till it conforms totally with the commandments and with the life of Jesus. And that won't be finished as long as you or I are in this world. But be assured of one thing. God finishes what He starts. I don't believe for a moment God does anything by halves. God never starts a project and then walks away with indifference when He's only half finished what He's doing. God completes what He starts. Hebrews 13, verse 5 reminds us that God Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if God has begun a good work in you, you can be sure that He's going to finish it. And we should take confidence in that truth. And we should take confidence in God. Now that doesn't mean there's not going to be anything for human me to do. God still wants us to conduct our lives in conformity to His law. He still wants us to do what's right and true and good. He still wants us to be like Jesus. So let's get at it. Let's resolve to do it. And since it's New Year's, you and I can make a resolution or two or more. In fact, that's a resolution we should be making every day. And as you get on with such renewed righteous living, you'll discover what is written in Philippians 2, verse 13, where it says, it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now that's God continuing this good work that He's begun in you, and He's willing and working in you to do what His good pleasure, and you can be sure God is not pleased with anything but righteousness. Get going, and as you work on your resolution, you'll discover God continuing to do his good work in you. Fix your confidence in God. But don't get the idea that since God is at work, you have nothing to do. Don't get the idea that you can sit back and take it easy. You can't slack off and coast your way through the Christian life. You'll never get anywhere, and your resolutions won't be kept. It takes application, takes effort, takes work to live as a Christian. So Paul says in Philippians 3:12, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And he adds in verse 13, one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul, you see, had this resolve to live as a Christian. And he labored, he pressed, he strained at fulfilling that resolve. And if the Apostle Paul had to labor, press, and strain, you can be sure you and I need to press, labor, and strain at fulfilling our resolve to be more like Jesus. There's no such thing as a leisurely walk through the Christian life. No such thing as effortless fulfilling of resolutions to righteousness. You have to make the effort. One of our problems is that I think we look for final results too soon. We expect to be righteous, true, and good today. And of course we should be. But the fact is, we're not. And it takes time to get there. It takes time for God to get us there. It took time for God to finish the work of creation. And Scripture tells us it took him all 6 days. And it's going to take him time to finish the work of sanctifying your life. So what happens? Well, we resolve to do better. And by God's grace, things may be pretty good for a while. But it seems sooner or later, in a careless moment, we stumble and fall again. That's bad. There's no excusing it. Our resolution has been broken. But it's not the end of God's working. And it should not be the end of our working either. We are not to back off and quit because of failure. We should get right back at it. Right back at seeking to live righteously in the sight of God. Who knows? Maybe that sin you've been struggling against. Who knows when you'll get over that hump? You may get over it tomorrow. Or maybe next month. Or maybe sometime this year or next. The only certain thing is that you'll get over it when God has finished his work in you. And meanwhile, you have your work cut out for you as surely as God has his work cut out for him. The work of sanctification is a joint project between you and God. God will see it's accomplished. So fix your confidence in him. Never give up. Don't let the devil discourage you. Don't let the history of past failures discourage you. Don't let today's failure discourage you. Keep your confidence in God. Believe that He will do what He says He will do. And you can count on Him to do it. Press on with God's apostle toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, knowing that in God's time, you'll make it. Forget your past failures. Fix your confidence in the Lord. Press on in the fulfillment of your resolutions. You'll notice that the text before us doesn't tell us when God's work will be complete. It does tell us, doesn't it? Yes, it does. God's good work in you will be complete in the day of Jesus Christ. The day when Jesus Christ is revealed in glory. The day of His second coming. The day of resurrection. The day of judgment and the consummation of all things. God won't be finished until then. Now, I suppose God could be finished today, but somehow I don't think so. I think there are a few more things that need to happen first, but I could be wrong. It's possible that day won't arrive as long as I'm on this earth. Maybe it won't arrive as long as any one of us is here on this earth. We just don't know. What is certain is that we know the day will come. God will have finished the work He has begun in you. And in that you can be confident. God finishes what He begins. So here we are this morning, one day after New Year's Day, and it's still a good time for making one or more resolutions. Let's not hold back because of a woeful lack of confidence brought on by a string of past failures. Rather, let us be mindful of the good work God has begun in every believer. And let's fix our confidence in Him, knowing that He finishes what He begins. And let us resolve by His grace to be the people He is calling us to be in this world today. And let's renew that resolution as often as is necessary until God has finished with us and has received us into glory. Amen. Let us turn to hymn 56. Hymn 56, it talks about the shepherd's care, the Lord watching over His people and continuing His good work in them. Hymn 56, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we bless you for all that you've done. We bless you for the good work that you have begun in each believing heart. And we bless you that you are continuing that good work today. And you will continue doing it until you're done. And we're received in glory to rejoice and praise you in your presence. Help us to keep your work ever in mind and resolve to see it advanced in our lives day by day. We thank you for the Church of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for our congregation here in Vernon. May it please you to be at work in our lives, in our midst. We pray for the leadership of the church, for Pastor Ewan. May he ever preach your word winsomely, wisely, in the power of your Spirit. May wisdom be given to the consistory and the officers of the church to shepherd your people. Well, accomplish your purposes in our lives. We thank you for your mercy and grace. For blessings we receive every day, you've brought us to the beginning of another year, given us the hope of accomplishing much in your grace. We pray for the congregation.